There are many ladies who claim that they have a sixth sense. But when they claim that they have a sixth sense, if they mean that they have a kind of instinct that they can understand what is going on or what is happening, that is possible. Because mind itself has a kind of ability to sense. But when they say that they have a sixth sense, if they were to mean that they have a kind of psychic power, an uncanny ability, a kind of intuition, that is impossible unless that person trained to achieve such abilities. The ability of the sixth sense, in fact, is not unique to women. Men also have got the same abilities. To understand the nature of the sixth sense, it is good if we can study a little bit about evolution psychology. When we study evolutionary psychology, we can understand how men and women, their brains were evolved, and why men and women have certain abilities and skills which are distinctive. For instance, the women being the ones, those who nurture, they have a kind of ability and they are in a better position to read body languages. They may be able to detect and understand the subtle signs of the changes of the bodies and can interpret something based on that. On the other hand, the men being the hunters, they had to go to the forests and to the sea to bring the food. And they had to find their way back home. So they have a kind of ability, a kind of instinct to navigate through forests, through deserts, or through sea. So these abilities and skills, we tend to believe a kind of psychic ability, are in fact not psychic abilities. Well, Buddha also talked about sixth sense. But what kind of sixth sense did Buddha talk about? In numerous discourses, we come across six types of sense faculties and their relevant receptive sense stimuli. They are known as salayatana. Six types of sense bases and sense objects. Eyes can detect light. Ears can detect sound. Nose can detect smell. Tongue can detect taste. The body can detect touch. And the sixth one, the sixth sense faculty, which is the mind, can detect feelings, perceptions, mental formations. So the sixth sense faculty in Buddhist teaching is the mind. Mind is a sense faculty, what we call indriya. Mind has got the ability to deal with the other five sense faculties as well as mind itself and its own domain. Now, the Buddha talks so much and emphasizes so much about the importance of developing this sixth sense, which is the mind. In fact, Buddhism is all about developing this sixth sense faculty. Buddha encouraged all his followers to cultivate the sixth sense faculty in three successive ways. There are interrelated types of trainings that go hand in hand. They are popularly called threefold training. First of them is training the excellent qualities of the mind. Human mind is a treasure house, at the same time a dustbin, a rubbish bin. In our mind, we have precious gems as well as a lot of rubbish. So Buddha encouraged those who wish to develop the sixth sense faculty must dedicate themselves to cultivate excellent mental qualities. These excellent mental qualities are positive, they are constructive, and they are wholesome. These are the wonderful virtuous qualities like kindness, gentleness, humbleness, simplicity, generosity, loving kindness, and such kind of virtuous qualities. These are the excellent mental qualities. So this is the development of excellent qualities in the human mind. And we need to work hard for that. Like a farmer who grows crops, we also have to grow these excellent qualities in our mind. A farmer, before he grows his veggies or any other crops, he will prepare the ground, he will plant the seed, then he will make sure that there is water, sunshine, fertilizer, and he will attend to these plants regularly, make sure that they grow well. They will protect them from insects and from other animals, and they will take care of them until he get the crops, get the harvest. During this period, there might be a lot of weeds just arise without any encouragement from the farmer. But the farmer had to pull out these weeds and keep them away. In the same manner, when we dedicate ourselves to develop excellent mental qualities, we need to work hard. We need to keep away from negative, unwholesome, unbeneficial type of defilements. We have to suppress them. And we need to encourage the development of excellent qualities in the human mind. The second way to develop the mind, the Buddha encouraged us to develop the mind, its ability to focus. So here, developing mind's ability to focus well. If we notice that, we might see mind is a kind of energy, kind of force. Mind is moving so fast. It doesn't remain in one place. It's always running. So here, we need to train our mind to focus. You can focus your breath and mindfully breathe in and mindfully breathe out. Mind will run away and bring it back and focus again. So constantly paying attention to your own breath, you are training your mind to focus well. There can be many other methods to do that. Someone may be able to look at a flame of a candle and focus the flame of the candle and fix the mind on it. Do not let it run. So you are training your mind, focusing the flame of the candle. Or it is also possible, you might use a Buddha image and look at the Buddha image and focus, keep your attention there and train. Each and every time your mind run away, bring it back. So in this way, we undertake a kind of training process to develop the focusing. Through this, we are developing undivided attention, uninterrupted attention, what we call concentration. When we get our skills to do that, step by step, then we will get the ability to focus well, to be attentive. And eventually our mind starts to develop further and deeper. And in Buddhist teachings, we call them development of the jhanas, ecstasies. When we focus, when we train to focus our mind and develop attention, eventually we come to a stage and two types of mental skills become prominent in our mind. These are perfect equanimity and perfect mindfulness. When the mind achieves these excellent two mental skills, mind is very powerful. At that stage, mind is well focused, well concentrated, well unified, and it has got these two excellent prominent qualities, which is equanimity and mindfulness. Such a mind is like a polished mirror. Whatever you place in front of a polished mirror, it will reflect exactly what it is. In the same manner, what brought in front of your mind, and you will see it very clearly. It will reflect very clearly. A mind which is developed to this state is like a pool where there is clear water, where there is no muddy water or disturbed water. So water which is clean, clear, and unrippling. And then if you were to look at this pool, and you might see the depth of it. In the same manner, at this stage, you can see your own mind in very deep sense, in a deeper way. You can understand it. You can clearly see it. At this stage, your mind is like a flash torch. In a dark night, if you were to use a flash torch, and whatever the direction, whatever the item you focus with that torch, you can see it very clearly, exactly in the same manner. What is brought to your mind's attention, you will see it very clearly. At this stage, your mind is like a microscope. Whatever you examine through that, you will see them very clearly, precisely. So this is the training of the mind to develop two excellent qualities, which is equanimity and mindfulness, through constantly paying attention, focusing. Then the third stage of the development or training is known as critical investigation. Here, a mind which is developed is used to analyze. Like a scientist who uses a microscope to analyze a microorganism, we too use these two mental factors, which is equanimity and mindfulness, to investigate our own body and mind, which is known as five aggregates of clinging. When we analyze very carefully, precisely, to understand the nature of the five aggregates of clinging, then we will discover the true nature of this body and mind. And this process is known as vipassana. Seeing, analyzing in a very special way, like a scientist who is doing experiments in a laboratory, we too do these experiments with our own mind and body. When we analyze five aggregates of clinging, then you will eventually discover the body and mind, they are in a constant flux. Your body is changing and the mind is changing. And whatever related to body and process, feelings, perceptions, mental formations, and consciousness, all these are in the process of arising and passing away. You will see that they are interconnected and interdependent. So eventually you will discover anicca, impermanence. And you also will discover that they are connected, conditioned. They are not independent. And then when you analyze further and you will understand, if you were to cling to these impermanent feelings, perceptions, mental formations, consciousness, or to your body, or anything else at all, then that creates only suffering, because they are subject to change and disappear And eventually, you will have to suffer because of that clinging. When you analyze further and deeper, then you will also see, in fact, this body and mind process itself has nothing permanent entity, something that we can cling or hold on to like soul. And you will discover what we recognize as five aggregates of clinging are only forces and energies which are interconnected, interdependent, and in the process of arising and passing away. So at this moment, when you realize, when you discover these fundamental realities, which is impermanence and unsatisfactoriness and non-self, your mind releases from all the bonds, from all its attachment. So attachment and clinging disappear, mind achieve perfect freedom. You will enjoy perfect bliss and happiness. And this is what we call enlightenment, an attainment of supreme wisdom and perfect purity. So Buddha encouraged all his disciples to dedicate, to develop the sixth sense faculty. Now, there are two groups of people who are dedicated to do this job. One group of disciples of the Buddha, the followers of the Buddha, they dedicate full time for this process. They give what is necessary to the body, just to keep the body going on. They provide foods and drinks to this body, clothes, shelter, and if the body falls sick, they give medicines. So these are the basic needs, bare minimum needs of the body. Having done so, then they shut off all the five sense faculties. They do not entertain these five sense faculties. Having done so, they pay full attention to the sixth sense faculty, which is the mind. So they have 24 hours time to dedicate for this one faculty, which is the mind itself. Then in order to develop their mind, following these three steps that Buddha recommended, they will seclude themselves to a suitable place, or they will live in a community where they can dedicate for this work. And then they will undergo the training to develop the excellent qualities of the mind. Then they will train to focus well. And then they use the excellent skillful qualities of the mind, which is equanimity and mindfulness, to do critical investigation of the body and mind, and eventually they will break through the delusion and attain enlightenment. So these are the people who dedicated full time to follow the Noble Eightfold Path. Then there's another group of people, they are also dedicated to practice the Noble Eightfold Path, but in a different way. And These are, generally speaking, these are the lay followers of the Buddha. And these people, they want to enjoy five sense faculties. So they gratify five sense faculties. They will live with their families, with their wife or husband and children. They will engage various businesses or livelihood to make living. And they will occupy with many things in society. But they still want to develop the sixth sense faculty, which is the mind. So they too will follow the Buddha's path, the Noble Eightfold Path, in order to do that. So what do they do as Buddhists? All those Buddhist practices eventually lead to the direction of the Noble Eightfold Path. So in Buddhist societies, we have Buddhist rites and rituals, ceremonies. If you carefully analyze these rites and rituals and ceremonies, in fact, they are leading you to the direction of the Noble Eightfold Path, to develop the excellent qualities in your mind, to develop the mindfulness and equanimity. And in this way, they in fact eventually leads to follow the Noble Eightfold Path. For example, suppose there is a funeral chanting. So what do you do in funeral chanting? So when the monks go to conduct a funeral chanting, they will give a Dhamma talk. They will make you understand the nature of the life, impermanent nature. They will talk about the death and the separation, and they will encourage you to follow the Dhamma, abide by righteous principles, keep away from evil. So they will make you observe three refuge and five precepts. So in this way, you are dedicated to develop the excellent mental qualities when you follow the five precepts. You are keeping away from evil and cultivating good. When the monks do the chanting in such places, whether it is a funeral place or some other places, they are chanting the Dhamma. So by listening to these chantings, your mind becomes calm, peaceful. You are focusing your mind to listen to the Dhamma. And then in these kind of occasions, you also will engage actions like practicing charity. And when you give out of compassion, goodwill, you give with respect. So indirectly, you are developing a lot of qualities like humbleness, respect, gratitude, generosity, kindness, compassion, such kind of qualities. So any kind of rites and rituals or ceremonies, they are involved with a certain Buddhist practices, one way or another way, that leads to development of virtue, concentration, and wisdom. When you engage in devotional practices in your day-to-day life, you are also developing the necessary qualities to follow the Noble Path. You are developing your faith, confidence in the Triple Gems. You are dedicating yourself to follow the path. When you offer light, you make a wish. Like this light, dispel the darkness. May I have the wisdom to dispel the ignorance from my mind, to achieve enlightenment. When you offer flowers, you might think these flowers wither away, and it helps you to reflect impermanent nature. So in this way, even devotional practices, the things we offer to the Buddha, and symbolically they represent and connected with the Noble Eightfold Path. Then on top of it, the Buddha also recommends for the lay people to practice three types of merits, which are known as dana, sila, bhavana. Dana here means charity, giving away. When you practice giving, and you are reducing greed. When you have so much attachment and greed, you cannot give away. So when you give, you are reducing your attachment and greed. Then when you give, you are encouraged to give with compassion, with goodwill, with such marvelous, wholesome qualities. So when you give with compassion and goodwill, you are reducing your hatred. And when you give, you are giving with the intention to reduce your attachment and your hatred and the other defilements with the intention of attaining enlightenment. So this eventually reduces your ignorance and increase your wisdom because you are doing it with right understanding. So when you practice giving with right understanding, with compassion, with generosity, then we are producing the necessary qualities which are opposed to greed, hatred, and delusion, which are the defilements of the human mind. When you practice sila, observing righteous principles, you are dedicating to do away with evil and cultivate good. And again, you may not be able to observe the precepts unless you dedicate yourself to develop excellent mental qualities. Precepts are meant to develop excellent virtues in your mind. Precepts are not training your body or speech, but they are training your mind. Then, of course, bhavana, meditation. Lay people are also encouraged to adopt meditation. With their limited time, and they still should dedicate to meditation. So even 10 to 15 minutes of meditation practice, it still will bring greater results in life. So whether we are ordained disciples of the Buddha or lay disciples of the Buddha, we are still dedicated to follow the Noble Eightfold Path. This is the project that the Buddha recommends for his followers to practice in order to develop the sixth sense faculty. So we all have a sixth sense faculty, and we need to develop it. Buddha teach us a very precise and a systematic method to develop this sixth sense faculty and eventually to break through the delusion and achieve perfect enlightenment.